and there's going to be four messages on this. And I want to start out this morning with good news. Walking is good cardio exercise. And if you can walk at a brisk pace of at least 3 miles per hour, it'll work your heart. It'll do everything up there that's healthy for you. Now, I have a secretary who's in a wheelchair. And so I asked her, because she can set her miles per hour on her wheelchair, I asked her to set it at 3. And I walked alongside of her. So 3 miles per hour looks like this. That's 3 miles per hour. I don't walk that fast. My wife walks probably at 4 miles per hour. So we don't walk together because she is a walker and she goes hard at it. I walk at about a mile and a half. I'm not a fast walker. Now, this thing about walking in the Bible is interesting because it's a word that's used in the Hebrew and the Greek. Sometimes it's used, obviously, literally, where you physically walk. And then it's used metaphorically, figuratively speaking. It's not like you're actually walking with God and He's in person. But in the Old Testament, we see a number of incidences where we hear that God walked among His people. And His presence was there, metaphorically, and then sometimes physically. Theophany, that's what it's called, when God did show up. And then we know in the New Testament, the disciples walked with Jesus, and Jesus is God. So they actually got to walk physically with Jesus, and Jesus taught them many, many wonderful stories and lessons about who He is and what He has come to do. Good news is we can work our hearts and work our bodies by walking physically. And I trust that you will do that. Do we have any walkers here this morning? You go out and walk every day? Well, some of you need to start. We want to keep you around. You know, if you don't use it, what happens? Yeah, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So we want to encourage you to exercise physically and get out there. I want to share some bad news with you. Bad news. We've heard some good news. Now here's some bad news. Adam and Eve walked with God, but chose to walk away from God. And you know the story, don't you? In Genesis chapter 3, God had created this beautiful place called Eden, created Adam and Eve and placed them in that perfect, perfect environment. And He said, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. There's one tree that you're restricted. Well, Eve was tempted. She took fruit from that tree, ate, and gave it to her husband. And Adam and Eve, as soon as they ate from the forbidden tree, they hid themselves in the garden. And it says, I believe in verse 7, I'm going to read it, and if you'd like to open to Genesis chapter 3, we'll read some of this account here. And I'm so thankful that we have a God who seeks us out. Even when we sin, He comes after us. I'll start with verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, some commentators feel that this is a theophany, that God is walking with them. And I'm okay with that. But I'm also okay with if He wasn't there physically, He was there. Because God can show up any way He wants to. And they heard the sound of the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. And what did they do? Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to Adam. Aren't you thankful that God calls? Aren't you thankful that God seeks us out in our sin? Here we have the beginning of redemption. This is where it started, in the Garden of Eden, when mankind plunged into sin and they were afraid, they were hiding, God came to seek them out. It reminds us of what we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to save, to seek and to save those who are lost. And I'm so thankful that we have a God who comes after us, as he did to Adam and Eve. Then they said, then in verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, and I love this. This is typical of a man's statement. I want you to know that. "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." Here's where we have the beginning of finger pointing. It's her fault. The blame game. You ever play that blame game? You're the reason I'm getting angry. You're the reason. Well, usually we're the reason. You've heard that old saying, if you point your finger at somebody, how many more are pointing back at you? At least three, right? If you still have all your fingers. Some of you may not. So here we have Adam playing the blame game. Verse 13, then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So here we see the first incidence of God walking among humanity, walking with Adam and Eve. And then we see this relationship estranged. We see a break in this relationship because of sin. But God keeps working and keeps revealing to us that he is the one who seeks out us and the one who is working to save humanity. So, this is bad news in a sense, but the news gets better. And that's because walking with God increases our faith in him. And here's some biblical examples. And these examples happen right after God had walked with Adam and Eve. So the first one is Enoch. I think all of you have heard of Enoch. It says in chapter 5, verses 22 and 24, if you'd like to just turn a few pages and go over to chapter 5, we'll look at verses 22 through 24. "After he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." The word "took" here in my translation means that he was transferred, taken up. He was gone. You know there are two people who did not experience death, correct? Enoch and Elijah. He was caught up in a fiery chariot up into heaven. So Enoch did not experience death. He was transferred from earth to heaven. It says he walked with the Lord for 300 years. He lived to be 365. So there were 65 years that he maybe didn't walk with the Lord. We don't know. It doesn't say. But it says he walked 300 years with the Lord, and God transferred him from earth to heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to go? Anybody looking forward to death this morning? You know that we're all going to die one day. We are. You know, except you, Ida. You know, I've known this gal since I started here. Isn't that right, Ida? Yeah, and it's great to see you here this morning. And, you know, she's a real strong girl. And how old are you now, Ida? 85. And great to see you here this morning. But all of us may experience death unless the rapture takes place. And I vote for the rapture. But we look at Enoch. And then we also look at Noah. Now, understand that Enoch walked with God. And through his particular ancestry, we're going to see that it works with Seth, all the way back to Adam. And from the time of creation to the flood, we figure there's about 1,600 years from creation to the flood. And then we read of another individual walking with God, whose name is Noah. So if you'd like to go to chapter 6, verse 9, just keep moving through this book called Genesis, we'll read about Noah. "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." Noah also walked with God. It's interesting when you look at certain translations. And here's a little information for some of you Bible scholars. Do you know what the Septuagint is? Have you ever heard of that word, Septuagint? It's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And the translation came into existence around about 300 years, you could say, before we get to that point in time where it becomes AD, 300 years BC. And the reason why they wanted to put a Greek translation together of the Hebrews, because most of the Jews were Greek people speaking Greek because of the Romans. And so they wanted to put this translation together called the Septuagint, LXX, which Roman numerals means 70. There were 70 elders of the Jews who worked on translating the Hebrew into the Greek. So that's your lesson on translations. Now, when you look at the Septuagint, this word walk, they translate it please. Noah, please God, which is interesting when you look at that. Because if you're walking with the Lord, wouldn't it be natural that you're pleasing Him? And we're going to see when we get to the New Testament that the writers translated it that way, because many of the writers of the New Testament had the Septuagint. They had the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Now, we have the translation, the original Jewish translation, called the Masoretic Text. And that's where we base ours off of, not the Septuagint. Now, Noah walked with God. Amen. And there's one more in the Old Testament. Abraham walked with God. In Genesis 17:1, we read this same statement that Abraham walked with God, walked before God and with God. And this is the genealogy of Noah. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And he had the experience also of walking with God. My understanding is that the Old Testament and the New Testament work together. And here's a statement that I've always heard. The New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old is revealed in the New. Have you heard that statement before? It's very true. God has given us a translation. It's progressive in its nature. He reveals Himself throughout the Scriptures, the Old and the New. And He also explains many things that we don't understand in the Old in the New. Now, here's a beautiful thing about all of this. Go to the book of Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews, because you're going to see an interpretation here about what this walking with God was all about, as the writer is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and revealing to us, interpreting to us what went on with walking with God. Hebrews chapter 11. If you have a Bible, we're going to look at some interpretation here about what it means to walk with God and what the first step in walking with God involves. Now, I'm going to start reading in verse 1, but we're going to look at these characters because they're mentioned in this particular chapter. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Do you know how God created everything? He spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And they separated the waters. And then He created, spoke into existence the vegetation. And I find it interesting that when He created all of the green things, that they existed before He created the sun, because on the fourth day He created the sun and the moon. Do you know why the vegetation didn't need the sun back then? Because God is light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And when He creates a new heaven and a new earth, He's going to be the one that's going to fill both of those with His presence and with His glory and with His light. So God spoke things into it. Now here's where we get to the interesting thing, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Well, here's Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So this thing about pleasing God involves faith. Faith. Enoch had faith in God. And it was during some very tumultuous time and dark times, just before the flood, we read of how God was sorry that he had created mankind, because mankind had become so corrupt and so decadent. And then we see Noah. Noah walked with God. Noah pleased God. Keep that in mind as we go through this particular passage. By faith, Enoch was taken up. And then we look at Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Faith. Again, what pleases God is faith. I believe that most of you here have faith. Is that correct? Why did you come this morning? Because you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You place your faith in God. We practice our faith every day. You took a step of faith this morning because you want to please God. How do you please God when you come together as a church? Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together as is the manner of some. Correct? But continue to come together as you see the day approaching that you may encourage. You may encourage one another. So you took a step of obedience this morning. You exercised faith because God says that you should come together. Isn't that correct? You're pleasing God. God says to come together and to fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. And then we read about Abraham in verses 8 through 10. And this is such a captivating story because he left his home area. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You realize that when Abraham left his home country, and he went to the land of Canaan, that he never really set up permanent dwelling there, but God had promised. Eventually, they would take complete control of that area. But Abraham never experienced it because he looked to the future. He looked to God, realizing that God was going to fulfill his promise, even though he didn't experience the total fulfillment of that promise. And God has given us so many promises in his word. And God wants us to act on faith. And as we look at this, we read again in verse 6, and I want to emphasize here that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's talk about your faith today. I came to faith in Christ at the age of 20. And I know that many of you could share your testimony. You'll have an opportunity back during the Sunday school hour, during the summer months, to share your testimony about what God is doing in your life, what God has done in your life. It's a wonderful opportunity to share that. But it's your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want stronger faith, then we need to dig into the scriptures. And I think most of you understand that. And so when we begin this walk with God, what we're really beginning is this walk of faith. And this relationship is restored with God because we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And he is now our mediator. He is now our advocate. He is now our Savior. And because we have this relationship with Jesus Christ, and we have placed our faith in him, we have the wonderful privilege of being called the children of God. Now, I want to ask all of you here this morning, because as your pastor, I want to make sure that all of you have faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because there's no other way to please God than through having faith. Is your faith real? I believe it is. I can't look into your heart, and you can't look into my heart, but I've listened to most of you, and I know most of you, and I believe you're here this morning because you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that correct? I believe it is. And so we have this wonderful relationship with God, and we have all of these promises that God has given us, and walking in faith is exciting. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this, being confident of this, that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are present or absent, make it your aim or your goal to please him. To please him. That's what faith is all about, pleasing God. Now, how do we please him? The first step is faith, by placing our faith in him. Sometimes I think we look at these characters in the Bible and we think that they're superheroes, that they're not human, but they were. And when you examine their lives in the Old Testament, you will see, especially when you look at Abraham. Did Abraham ever mess up in his life? Oh, he messed up many, many times. You know, he passed his wife off as his sister because he was afraid of Pharaoh. He figured that he was going to take him out, kill him, take Sarah to be his wife. That would be the Pharaoh. There were times when Abraham you think he lacked faith at times? I think he struggled. I lack faith at times. You know, this last weekend, my wife took me to her 50th high school anniversary reunion. 50 years. I can remember when I was quite a bit younger that going to a 50-year high school reunion was for old people. And guess who we saw there? Old people. And there we were, old people. I thought, Darlene, we've arrived. Now, it was her reunion because she graduated in 1969. I graduated in 1970. So it was a Red River Rough Rider, but they also have the Central 69 people who graduated come too. So Red River and Central have their reunion together. And so I was wondering, am I going to see anybody from my class maybe being there that also married a gal from the year 1969, or will I see someone else that I knew that when they were a senior, I was a junior? And it's hard to recognize people after 50 years when you haven't seen them. I had this one gentleman explain to me, he was going through the yearbook because he wanted to make sure he knew some names of his friends that he had in high school. And he said to me, he said, you know, I think I remember their names, but I certainly don't recognize them anymore. You realize how much we change in 50 years, don't you? We change drastically. We're not who we were physically. But what was interesting about this is that I had an opportunity to talk to several men that I didn't know, and we got into conversations about the Lord. And as I was talking with this one individual, I wanted to give him a John 3:16 card that I had in my wallet. And so we were talking about things, and he was asking me about what I did, and I shared with him I was a pastor, and I said, I'm a Baptist. He said, what kind? I said, a Baptist. And immediately I saw terror come across his face. Oh, no. What is he going to do to me? I looked at him, and I said, can I share something with you? Something that's really important to me. He said, okay. So I got out my John 3:16 card. I said, I want to share this verse with you because this verse changed my life. And maybe you know it. I don't know your background. He looked at me and he said, I'm a Lutheran. Of course I know that. I said, well, I'm sorry I brought it up. I could sense immediately some hostility. Like, who are you, a Baptist, to give me that card? I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I'm in. That's what I was thinking. And you know, there are a lot of people who are religious, but they reject this thing about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, well, I just wanted to share with you what's so important to me, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be a Lutheran, you can be a Presbyterian, you can be a Methodist, you can be whatever. But if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. A couple of weeks ago, we had a testimony by a comedian, and I don't think he was all that funny if you've ever watched his comedy particular show, but his name was Penn Jilliatt. And he made a statement that just resonated with me. Do you remember that statement? How bad do you have to hate someone not to tell them about Christ if you really believe there's a hell? Do you remember that, some of you who that saw that testimony? And I thought to myself, how bad do you need to hate someone if you really believe in hell not to tell them that they don't have to go there, that there is a remedy, there is someone who will rescue us from that place? And so that's always been going through my mind, but I've always tried to be bold, but you know, sometimes I shrink back, sometimes I fail. But I wanted to share my faith with that individual and others that particular night. And honestly, I didn't get a good response from those individuals that I was talking with. And I thought, oh my, how do you handle rejection? Do you handle it fairly well? I don't. I don't handle rejection very well. I want people to like me. But when you present the gospel, what happens? Sometimes there's a division that comes about immediately. And Jesus said that he has not come to give peace, in a sense. He's come sometimes to divide. And that division happens when you share about your testimony about Christ. They don't want to hear it because they're not interested in understanding what truth is according to God's word. This first step is such an important one for us to have faith in Christ. And I trust this morning that you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's also a way to please Him as we continue to live our lives by faith, by His Word, and pleasing Him. Therefore, and this is what I want to leave you with, therefore, whether present or absent, make it your aim, your goal, to please Christ. For He must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be reckoned for what we've done, whether good or bad. So our goal is to please Him, and that's the first step of faith, when you trust Him as your Savior. I trust you want to please Him like I do, don't you? I believe you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for the examples we have in the Scriptures about what faith is. And we thank You that we are saved by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, that all we need to do is place our faith, our trust, our belief in You, and we have salvation. And we as a church want to celebrate that, but we also, Father, want to communicate it to those that You bring into our lives. It's so important for each one of us, wherever we go, and to the people that You bring into our lives, Lord, that we would share the hope that we have in our hearts and share our Savior with them. So help us, Father, as a church, as we reach out to a nation and to our community that is lost, so many lost, we ask, Lord, that You will allow us to share the hope that we have in You and our faith in Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.